Hope you all settle down there upstairs and downstairs and have your Bibles out and have your pens and paper out. And let's see if we can work our way through these couple of verses here at the end of Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 30, which we looked at the last couple of Sundays about the Holy Spirit and then the consequence of being filled and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Paul, writing to this church here in the city of Ephesus, says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you." The Apostle Paul is making a contrast between the old man and the new man, between who we were in the world, in the kingdom of Satan, and who we are in God's kingdom of light. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul writes, "We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. We are His workmanship, created for good works which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them." Paul's talking about how we are to live our life, how we are to walk. We are to walk worthy. And part of this worthiness is walking according to God's plan. It says beforehand. Beforehand means before God created the world. God has a plan for your life. And the question today is, do you know what God's plan for your life is? Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, God is unfolding His plan for your life. Some of these things in verse 31 that Paul writes about are a sharp contrast with what we read about in verse 32. We have a list of do's, and we have a list of not just don't do, but we have a list of let it not even exist in your life. Put it away. Put it behind you. When we talk about our sins, the Scripture tells us that God has taken our sins and put them behind His back. And God never turns around and looks back. It says God will remember your sins no more. It says as far as the east is from the west, is the deepest ocean, God has removed our sins from us. And God has given us His Holy Spirit at the moment when He saved us. The Holy Spirit, we looked at the last couple of Sundays, is God's investment in our life. Jesus said, "I must go, but I will not leave you alone. I will send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. The Holy Spirit will be your comforter. The Holy Spirit will be your power. He will give you the power to withstand the fiery arrows that Satan throws in your direction or shoots in your direction." And the Holy Spirit is what God gives us. It's God's investment in our life. And when we have an investment, a financial investment, do you have some money in the bank that you want to earn some interest on? Or maybe you own some stocks, or maybe you have a pension plan at work? The goal is that it would always get bigger, not smaller. The goal is for it to grow, for it to produce a result for you, to have a harvest. God wants to have a harvest in your life. The good soil that Jesus described, it says when the seed fell into the good soil, it brought forth, in some cases, a minimum of 30%. Have you ever experienced a 30% return on an investment? Some people produce 60%. And Jesus said, some people 100%. Have you ever had 100% return on an investment? You know where Jesus says to put your investments? In heaven. It says nobody will steal them there. Nobody can get in there. It won't rust. The moths won't get to it. Do you ever go and get some clothes that you haven't worn for a long time and the moths have put a little hole in it? You see, the things on earth, they pass away, John says. Don't love the world, the things that pass away, the temporary things. And so Paul is making a contrast between the old and the new, the way we were and the way we are to be. And it's all a result of the investment that God makes in your life with the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not do the things that cause the Holy Spirit to hurt. We looked at that the last couple of Sundays. God not only invests the Holy Spirit in our life, but the Holy Spirit is a seal on our life. Did you ever get a piece of mail that was opened? And you wonder who looked through it. Maybe it was a love letter that somebody read. Maybe it was a check. Maybe it was advertisement that you tear up and throw away. A seal means that it's not supposed to be tampered with. A seal means it's not supposed to be torn open. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not do things that will rip the Holy Spirit or limit the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And Paul makes two lists of things. Verse 31 is the list of things that we as natural people, that we are born with Adam's nature. These are the things that we naturally can do. You can take a little child and he can demonstrate all of these things in his life without you ever teaching them these things. It's amazing where they get it. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. Paul says, just put it away. Put it behind you. Literally, it says, let it not exist in your life. But the problem is, this is natural to us before we are saved. Before we are saved, before the investment of God and His power in our life, of the Holy Spirit, that's all we're capable of doing. We can't control these things in our life. The very same way in verse 32. There's no way without the Holy Spirit that we can be kind to each other or tenderhearted or be forgiving as Jesus was. We can't. That's just not natural. It's supernatural. So we have a list of things that are natural vices in our life. The things that are not supposed to be. And then we have the things that God produces. His workmanship. Workmanship describes the work of a craftsman. They can take maybe a rough piece of material, wood, metal, gold, silver, diamond, and fashion it into something very beautiful. A good jeweler can take a rough diamond and cut away the rough edges and make a beautiful diamond out of it. God's workmanship. When we read Psalm 139, and 138, when David describes our creation. When God created us, it's as if God was just stitching all the little pieces together. The hands and the legs and the eyes and the ears and our whole body. God was intricately involved in our physical creation. And God is intricately involved in our spiritual recreation. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. And so we have a list of these things that Paul describes. Sadly, this list of sins, sometimes we see it in Christians' lives. And they don't even call it sin. They don't even acknowledge it as sin. They just say, well, that's just the way I am. Well, then maybe you're not a Christian. Because Scripture says that these do not belong in a Christian's life. This is not evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you have these things, you need to take a serious look in your mirror. This is your mirror right here. Take a look at it. These things are not supposed to be. Paul says that at the moment of salvation, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you make a conscious decision. That with the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, these things will not be in your life. You will not practice them. These are things that as Christians, we can either practice or not practice. And God commands us to not have them in our life. What is bitterness? Paul says, let bitterness be put away. Do you like bitter things? Do you like to eat bitter things or drink bitter things? Bitterness is an attitude. It's an unwillingness to forgive other people. It's having hard feelings for somebody. This is an emotion. This is something that makes you and makes other people irritable. When you're bitter, you irritate other people. You know how a pearl is made? It's a little piece of sand or a little piece of something that gets into an oyster. And it irritates it. And God created it in such a way that it would get a coating and then eventually it would turn into a beautiful pearl. But in a Christian life, God says, no pearls in your life. Just put it away. No bitterness. It's an expression that we use and say that person is sour. You ever meet somebody that has a horrible attitude towards life, towards you, towards work, towards church, towards society, towards government, towards everything? Some people just cannot be content. That's the opposite of bitterness. Put it away. Put away wrath. What is wrath? Wrath is an outburst of rage. You ever see somebody that just explodes? Especially people that aren't Christians sometimes. They go off into a rage, a rant. Wrath and anger, it's internal hostility towards other people. And the core, the root of this is something internal. If you ever try to light a little fire and you put some little twigs and little dry leaves there, and for a while it just smolders and smokes. And then after a while, all of a sudden it just explodes in a flame. Do you ever see that? Then you start putting bigger pieces of wood on it. That's the way these characteristics in our life are. If you don't put them away, they will eventually explode in your life and become the character of your life rather than what Paul says should be in verse 32. It's the opposite of the blessed man in Psalm 1. Remember, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed are you, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. What kind of blessedness is Jesus talking about? He's not talking about the people that are bitter and angry and wrathful, or people that have clamor. You know what clamor is? Clamor is when you finally burst. You can't hold it in anymore. It just comes out. This behavior in public ends in a riot. Have you ever seen a riot when a group of people just explode? We had some riots here a few years ago, not too far down here by Wilshire, where they burned down a whole section of Los Angeles. Right. This is people that are not under control. Paul says the Holy Spirit in your life is the controlling power in your life. Put these things away. Do not let them. Evil speaking is abusive speech, insulting speech. It's slander. It's insulting people when they are not present. It's talking about people when they are not there. And this ultimately expresses itself when we blaspheme God and speak about God as if He is not present in our midst. The language we use, the speech that we have that Paul's talked about in verses 25 to 30. You see, these are all things that are supposed to be put away. All these things begin with malice, which is really just a bitter root in your heart. This is not from the Holy Spirit. These are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. They upset God. This is what God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die. What we're going to celebrate today. These things are not to be in your life. Put them away. Instead, verse 32. We'll look at that next week. So I hope to see you then. Amen.